This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are back together again, more than a week this time, and we are live here on DFW Sports. Well, not really, if you factor in choppy, but more on that later. It was a wedding weekend here on the morning show with 105.3 The Fan, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Bell, along with Peyton and Aiden in the back. You ready for your trip?
In terms of, like, ready to go on it? Yeah, I'm ready to go. Am I packed? And I'm not packed. That'll be this week. It's like a five-day packing. We've already started some laundry.
Yes.
Got to pick out the outfits because you can't go. What I've been told, you can't wear like our attire in Europe.
What?
Our attire.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like you can't wear like what we wear. Can't wear gym clothes in Europe. It's a dress up. Like everybody dresses up everywhere they go. Like,
and where did you find that? Euro style magazine.
Social media. People are saying like, you know, they can spot Americans from a mile away.
Because I picture a lot of Italians just like Adidas warm up pants.
That's real Italians. That's American Italians. Okay. American Italians are real Italians. Okay, they're the real Italians.
Well, let's ask Pepe. Why are you checking out guides and everything? People all dressed up. You know, like they're part of the SEC over there.
Yeah, when you go to the Vatican, they do have an attire. So wear that. But if you're going to walk the streets, don't wear jeans or nice. You don't want to wear nice clothes out there walking, you know, miles and miles. No, who cares? If they judge you, they're not going to not let you on the trolley because, you know, you're
it's not about that. Athletic shorts. We got like everything's chinos for days.
I don't know what that is.
They're just chino pants. Like they're like not jeans, but. They're not like dress pants. They're jean pants that are a different color.
Now, okay. I will say, though, if you do wear the athletic shorts, you know, your pockets are most likely targeted for pickpocketers. So that's the only problem. So if you have like the crossbody, you know, fanny pack or whatever, you can wear that. You know,
so in other words, Bobby's never going
over there. Bobby's never going over there.
Well, in the words of Fetterman or what? What are you going to do if I wear clothes like that?
Huh? No, I'm not going to do anything. But not you, but these
Italians. Right. The French. It would be the first wore the French one. So they would say
you look like a bubaloo.
And what do you guys care about the dress codes? I mean, you guys all wear ball caps to steakhouses. So what does it matter? Why are you caring?
That's fair.
All right.
There are no dress codes in America anymore.
That's right.
We had that article last week or 2 weeks ago. The steakhouse, they just say, we are not turning away customers anymore. We'll put you in the corner.
All right. It was a loaded sports weekend, and we finally got a major championship that lived up to it.
The journey it's taken to get here for all this history.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
I love that Nance had to go back into the bag because when Rory had the putt to win it, in regulation, I'll call it, Nance did the whole setup, and he was anticipating the putt going down. He wanted to set at the moment. Rory makes bogey. We have to go into the playoffs. So he had to go to number two on the pre-written sheet.
Right. And I mean, Nance's always had a good final call in golf. And, what he messed up is that he realized he forgot who was putting. And Rory his putter will fail him. And it has failed him in the past. Almost did yesterday.
So I've come in here, it feels like for the past couple of years, and these final rounds of the majors have left something to be desired for me, whether it's not the biggest name or we don't get the big matchup. I thought we were heading there again yesterday because DeChambeau fell off. the matchup the entire world was waiting for, did not live up to it, and it was Bryson's fault. But this thing delivered. This was incredible. It was fantastic. He had the good guy, maybe the bad guy with the whole live stuff and hadn't won and the career Grand Slam and all that. And then you get the no name and you get a playoff and you get drama and you get the choke. I thought it delivered on basically all fronts except for Bryson versus Rory. Yeah. It was awesome.
It was. I mean, this tournament almost never fails. Like, I love this tournament. It brings up, there's so many aspects to it where, like, this week they changed the pin placement on 16, so it wasn't the same birdie hole. Like, 25% of the scores on 16 normally in the final round are birdies. You know, this year they changed it because this is where they put the pin when Jack won it in 75, 50th anniversary, and it was not a birdie hole. Rory double bogeyed one. Only 3% of the golfers double bogey one.
He is the first golfer in history to have four double bogeys in the Masters and still win it.
It's crazy.
Four.
It's crazy. I mean, like, this was, it had everything to it. And then, you know, the fact that you know this course, like, you play, when they go play Bethpage or Valhalla or, you know St. Andrews, but for the most part, like, you know every single hole on this course. And you know where the pin placements are. And you know where they need to make the shots. And where the shots are, and where the birdie holes aren't.
Bob, I could not tell if you were being sarcastic. You're not the biggest golf fan, but you were being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was glued to my TV. Are you kidding?
No, you said you were on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was glued to my TV. It was not golf, but I mean, I was watching my TV. I was rewatching The Wire. It was really good. That's what I liked. No, it's right there. That was I was thinking of it when you were playing that call from Nance. It was the perfect representation to me of why I can't take it seriously. As Jim Nance sounds like he's reading an erotic novel with his voice.
Are you crapping on Nance?
100% I'm crapping on Nance.
Wow.
I wish he was here right now to stick up for PGA or whatever else and defend it instead of...
Usually it's RJ Choppy going at the legendary announcers. This time, Bobby, Rory is the sixth golfer in history to complete the career Grand Slam. We'll get into his legacy later on, but it took the other five golfers three attempts at most to win their final major. It took Rory 11 yeah. times at the Masters, but he gets it done.
He does. And like he's been so close here a lot of times. He's been so close in to winning another major in those last 11 years a lot of times. He just hasn't gotten it done. And it was his putter. You know, his putter last year at the U.S. Open when he was down the wire with Bryson, you know, failed him. Other times it had been he had a bad first round, really came hard charging late.
And his driver off the tee was kind of the weak point yesterday.
Yeah, first two holes, he found the bunker. And it's like, it was kind of tough luck because they were like, oh, those are pretty decent shots. It was just, those bunkers are so well placed for a reason. And they're down the right side of the fairway. And just off the fairway, he finds the bunker. And that's really, really, obviously the major reason why he doubled one. Is that, you know, the first hole is not a double bogey hole. That green's treacherous with the front left pin. But this was a back pin, and it just was, that put him in a spot where he couldn't make the green in two.
What was your note on Thursday where you said the last, like, 3 years, there's been something that said that's his one? And you were like, so that would mean that this weekend Rory's going to win.
So the last three Masters champs came into the Masters with the most wins on tour that year. So...
Did you bet that?
I did bet Rory, yeah. So, but Rory had two. He was the only golfer in the year with two wins. And then now it's four straight years where coming into the tournament, the player with the most tour wins has won.
Who was everybody rooting for? This is probably the sick, demented part of me. I don't have any love or hate towards McIlroy. I did like when he was speaking up against Liv because he was willing to fire all the shots and create all the headlines. So I love that aspect of it. But I was rooting for him to lose again. I was rooting for the choke. I was rooting for another meltdown. I was rooting for Justin Rose to hit that long final putt. And I thought heading into the playoff, all right, Justin Rose is going to win this thing. This guy seems calm and cool like a killer.
Yeah.
Who you're not expecting to be sniping you off a roof. But McIlroy can remember this moving forward, like the multiple chokes that were happening. He still responded to it. But they were chanting Rory there at Augusta. Yesterday was playing out online. Everybody wanted Bryson, it seemed like, over McIlroy turned in, you know, communist versus United States thing. but I was rooting for the meltdown. I was rooting for the choke.
I was torn on this because I do like Rory. And I've turned into, I like Bryson too. Like he's...
Oh, Bryson's transformation to extremely likable is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean...
Because he was douchebag, analytic, calculus, measurement guy.
Slow.
The unconventional everything. And now he's really liked.
He really is liked. And, you know, I like Rory too. I think Rory's turned into that kind of guy that you sort of hated and then you full on hated. And then, like, he's kind of become a sympathetic figure because he's so good. He just never got over that hump. So I think that was, I just hate Justin Rose. I've never liked Justin Rose. He beat Phil. He kept Phil from the career Grand Slam. That really bothered me. And I like Phil. We're coffee bros. But, I was... Either one, Bryson or Rory, that one I'd have been fine with. I was definitely rooting for Rory over Justin, though, at the end.
I was rooting, although I wasn't watching, I was sitting there the whole time going, I hope Rory does choke on social media because I've grown to dislike him throughout the whole Liv stuff. I thought he was just a total, he was such a turncoat instantly as soon as that Liv money, that Liv connection came through. Then all of a sudden he just totally shut his mouth and stood up there as Mr. PGA man like Jim Nance and then walked away from it at the first second like, oh yeah, no, this makes sense. It's good for golf after you talked about how much he hated them. So I was rooting for him to choke the whole time because I love Rory's tears and have for 15 years, even though I don't follow it.
How are you not watching the last like three or four holes of the Masters for your job?
Because it'll all be on social media. And we want to represent everyone. So I'm representing the 90% of the country that still doesn't watch golf.
Peyton, were you doing your job?
Yeah, Sundays I watch the Masters. I'll keep up with it for sure. Because Thursday through Saturday, you know, it's like...
I would like to know real quick, on the fan text, just hit us up. Rangers or Masters? What were you doing? 877-881-1053. Bob, you're going to predict that it's 80%, 75% Rangers?
I don't know that it's 75% Rangers. I'll say that it is 75% we're not watching golf, though. They were watching something other than golf, whether it's Rangers or TV or whatever.
I buy that because, I mean, half the country not even sports fans. But
we're talking to a different audience. Rangers or Masters? Maybe you were at a sports bar. Maybe you had the two TV set up. But between the two, what were you watching? 877-881-1053.
But with the Rory thing, I mean, I was in the crowd of, I felt bad for the guy, you know, I really did, like going, like, because that, you know, I was thinking he was going to run on Sunday. I was like, he's going to run away with this, you know, he's going to go through and he's going to win by four or five strokes. And after the first hole, I was like, oh no, he's really going to make this tough on him. And so, like, when he missed that putt, my stomach turned a little. I was like, I really did feel bad for the guy.
They're pouring in. Spent time with my family. Masters all the way, every minute of the Masters, both two TV set up. Rangers, 1,000,000% Masters, then Rangers.
NASCAR, IndyCar.
Thanks, Broadus, for listening right now, part of the 6 a.m. Club. Here's Rory on bouncing back after near choke Sunday.
When I hit the wedge shot into the creek on 13, you know, I felt like I did a really good job of bouncing back from that. And the, you know, the double bogey at the first as well, but I was really nervous going out, and it was almost as if the double bogey at the first calmed my nerves a little bit and sort of got me into it in a funny way. And I just think all week how I responded to setbacks, I think that's what I'll take from this week, and, you know, couldn't be more proud of myself for that and being able to bounce back when I needed to.
And that's really where the psychology of sports took over yesterday, because he had to be thinking about what happened at the U.S. Open.
Oh, my God.
He had to be thinking about Greg Norman. He had to be thinking about the lifelong label. And to his credit, he got through it.
He did. And then now he's over the hump. Now it's like, all right, does he go on like a Masters run? Because he's always played pretty decent here. But that chip on 13 where he went in the water, that was one of the worst swings I've ever seen. I mean, that was awful. That was such a like amateur approach shot. There is no reason to even be going near the water there. But that was disastrous. And the fact that he overcame that, because that is a must birdie. 13 and 15, they are must birdie holes on the par fives. You don't have many must birdies on this course. You've got to birdie those.
The NBA regular season is over and the playoff matchups are set. What does it look like for the Dallas? I was going to say your Dallas Mavericks, but I'm careful with that now. What does it look like for the Mavs and the Stars with the playoffs upon us? That's next on your home of the Rangers with Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again right here on The Fan.